Hey folks, Captain Kevin Favor, and welcome to the Outdoor Show podcast brought to you by Ag South. They are specialists in land financing in Southeast Georgia. They make loans for small and large acreage, hunting property, timberland. They even do home mortgages and construction. Look, if you've listened to our show long enough, you know Jeff and I own property in Georgia. We both used Ag South for our financing, and they were great, and we couldn't be happier. Here's a cool part about Ag South. They have competitive rates, and they pay an average of 25% of the interest back every year in patronage. So let's just say your loan's for $300,000 at 6.5% at 20 years. That means you get back $2,770 a year. They write you a check for that. You call them at 844-AG-SOUTH or go to agsouthfc.com. Ag South, really good people who really know land.
Welcome to the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast.
I'm going to take you fishing, honey. You're going to love it.
Brought to you by Ring Power, Fisherman's Dock Seafood Market, and Tire Outlet on 1010XL. Here's Captain Kevin Favor and Captain Scott Shank.
This is good stuff. Welcome to the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast. I'm Captain Kevin Favor, sitting with the famous.
That's me.
The only. Captain Scott Shank.
The only one. Thank God.
They threw that bowl away, boy.
Boy, I'll tell you what. If not, it'll be worth $1 million, I can promise you. It's always fun to harass Michael, too, when we start the show. It's always...
Yeah.
Sorry, folks. We always get on the phone laughing,
yes,
but
we do.
We're talking back
because,
and forth.
Because
and
it's you know, it's fun. It's a fun time of year, man. The weather's...
Good God, has it been hot.
You've been up
in Georgia a little bit, but oh
but
my God.
No. By the way, I was up in Georgia, and I didn't go up until Sunday, simply for the fact that I was looking at the weather. But that's the hottest week I've had up there.
Really?
Since September.
I mean, 10 o'clock's been brutal.
Yeah,
by 10 o'clock,
Today, when I walked outside to hook up the boat and blah, 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 I didn't leave the dock until 11 because I had that, you know, outgoing tide.
Yep.
And I got to the ramp, and I'm like... Damn it! It was hot. I mean, it was. The wind hadn't started yet. You know,
crawling a creek, and by 1:30, it's like brutal.
No, but I let me tell you something. I had to, and we'll talk about this. I had to meet Captain Leon Dana halfway down the ditch to bring me some bait. We'll bring that story up later. But that breeze started blowing out of the southeast. Dude, it was as pleasant as you could possibly imagine. I mean, seriously, just enough to keep the bugs off of you.
Yes, sir.
Not enough to make your trolling motor go up another notch.
Right.
And it was magnificent. The weather today on the water was magnificent.
Yeah, that trolling motor's fixing to kick it up a notch coming tomorrow night.
What's tomorrow night?
We got a northeaster coming in.
Oh, I know it. I see that. I love it. Got
25, 30 knots on Saturday.
Yeah.
It's going to puff.
Yeah.
So we'll see what the weekend brings.
Yep. We will. We'll look at the forecast here in a little bit. But fish today. Look, folks, I don't fish that much this time of year. I just don't. I mean, I'm pretty much part time, so I depend on my buddies. And the reports weren't good.
I fished.
They were not good. There were no bait. The fishing sucks. You know, I even talked to Captain Leon Dana one day. It may have been yesterday on my way home from Georgia because, you know, I'm dialing up trying to get some insight. And he goes, well, don't go north because I didn't get a bite.
Yep.
I'm like, I said, excuse me? He said, I never had a bite.
He never had a bite.
Not a bite. Mm-mm. I'm like, oh.
Nope. He ran out of Palm Valley and never got a sniff.
Oh, my word.
So next thing I know, I see him down here by me, and I go, I thought you were fishing north today. Gave that one 2 hours, he said, and I'm back down here. I said, okay.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So
Red Bite's been kind of keeping everybody into play. But, you know, don't get me wrong. There's fish around. There's things to do. But everybody, you know, when I talk, oh, man, you know, the fishing was really tough. It was struggling. Oh, man, but I caught – I know that. Because if you sit somewhere for 3 hours, you better damn sure catch 3 or 4 fish.
I mean,
we cannot do – as guides, we cannot sit at a spot.
No, you're right.
And wait them out.
Right.
We give it 20 minutes tops, except if it's dead hard of winter and it's cold as all get out where you got to just let it kind of progress. But this time of year – it's stick it move. I mean, I give it 15 or 20 minutes, and if I don't get a bite with 4 anglers casting, I'm gone.
Yeah, You can only cover that little piece of bottom so many times.
Whole thing, yeah. You soak mullet this time of year, crab,
know,
yeah.
We've had this conversation before, and today I kind of went back to old school, is that, okay, let's go back a little bit further. People always ask me, how do you find these spots? Mm-hmm. How did I find these spots? The way that I found those spots is that when I had a manual trolling motor, I would get on that trolling motor and I would ease down this entire half a mile mm-hmm. of bank, and where I got a fish, I'd put it in my memory bank.
Yep.
When I got hung up on the bottom, I'd put it in my memory bank. Okay, there's eventually going to be fish here on this hard bottom where I caught a fish. Obviously, if there's fish there, there's going to be fish there again. So, yes, there's spots that we go to and we put the spot lock down, but a lot of times we don't ease up 50 yards.
No, not anymore.
We need to. Mm-hmm. You know, just because they're not there anymore, or I mean, there's a lot of spots that you and I have that just doesn't seem to be fished there anymore. Maybe they've moved up
50 20, or 80 yards. Yeah. They might have moved.
In other words, my point is we've gotten spoiled and we've gotten lazy.
Mm-hmm.
We have with these trolling motors.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're basically doing nothing but chunking the anchor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. when we had the manual trolling motors,
we're just not scratching our boat anymore.
Well, yeah. But when you have the manual trolling motor, no matter what. Okay, how many times did it happen that, okay, Joe Johnson in the back of the boat hooked a fish? Well, you had to get off the trolling motor, okay, to go back there, net the fish, do this, that, and the other. And the next thing you know, you're 50 yards, 75 yards. Well, you know what you did? You didn't pull back up to the spot. You were like, here we go again. Let's start here and ease back up. Well, lo and behold, you caught fish between that spot where you just drifted back.
Well, I found me something new this week, too, and I've been pounding on it I didn't fish yesterday, or today, excuse me. But anyhow, I leave it alone, and then I'll pound on it, and I'll leave it alone. Anyhow, it is right in our favorite creek down there, South River.
Uh-huh.
Okay? It's in one of the bends where we used to catch them on the third corner. Well, they have moved. I found... there's a tree underneath the water. I've hung it the last five times with jig heads.
Mm-hmm.
Finally realized it was a tree when up comes some bark off the tree when he did it. And I was going, okay. So I literally have GPS marks in creeks. I mean, I have this little tree marked, and I'll come in and set up depending on the tide, and damned if they're not up underneath that tree like a catfish.
Right.
Waiting on that bait to come over their heads. And
uh-huh.
I'm not, I mean, you know, catching a dozen, it's a pull me out spot. It's a dozen 15 rat reds guaranteed, and it's maybe one or two good slots
mm-hmm.
every trip I pulled in on it.
Right. But that's how you find spots.
Right down the road from where we used to fish what was a creek mouth.
Right.
Well, now, somehow during the flood tide, now a tree's there.
Yeah.
So now it's 50 feet in front of the creek mouth where we used to catch them.
And that will make a move.
And they moved to that tree.
Yeah.
And now they're all around the tree. You lose quite a few jig heads now, but damn, the fish ain't piled on it. So I'll sacrifice a few jig heads for that.
Yeah, so I guess my point being is that I kind of went old school today.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? I fished a stretch of the main river. I don't know, you know what I'm talking about, 100 yards?
Yep.
And seriously, I have two spots, one on this end zone.
Right.
And one on this end zone. Okay, but normally I call the in-between the end zones the dead zone because I don't catch anything there. I catch them on this end zone and that end zone, right? Well, today I was like, you know what, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to fish the whole thing. And I caught fish in the whole thing. And I would fish, I don't know, I was very patient. 15, 20 minutes, move up 10, 15 yards. So you know that you're
outside.
You've covered it and you're outside mm-hmm. of where they could cast from where you were. Does that make sense? Okay, so you move up.
Where the drift ended.
Right. So I just kept doing that. And I had a very, very good day. Very good day, you know. I was quite pleased, and so were they. I mean, we caught a lot of fish. We got a lot of fish, and it was a lot of nice fish, too. Yep.
Well, I'll tell you, Captain Zach Timms and I fished yesterday, and he went old school. He went and bought the old style balsam floats with the old rubber band, the old three-quarter-ounce lead.
Oh, did he really? The old trout
leader. Oh, yeah. He's cork chunking now. And he only had two guys, and he just wanted to just remember how we grew up and how we used to slip float fish. Okay?
Yes.
Dude, he said he put on one hell of a clinic underneath all them docks because most of the time people have a really hard time skipping a jig head up underneath the dock.
Yep.
With a slip cork, you can kind of walk it back. Now, grant you, now you have to get away from using your spinning rods for the most part. It's way easier to fish them with a bait caster.
Yep.
Because you can stop your finger on the line and you could, you know, instead of.
Yep.
You're kind of cumbersome when you're trying to.
Yep.
Fish him with a spinning rod. So anyhow, he had one bait caster. He just wanted to prove a point and make it. He proved the point. Not a lot of legal. I'm just telling you, he caught fish underneath there when probably most people trying, client-wise, trying to get a jig underneath that dock, were not going to make that presentation.
Right.
So just another little rubber bands keeping the back of your mind kind of thing.
Yeah.
God, can you imagine? My mom used to get so mad. Hell, I couldn't wait for St. Augustine record to get to the house because usually the days that it wasn't raining, they would roll it up and slide a rubber band on it.
Yeah.
Dude, my room was just covered with rubber bands. I save every rubber band from them papers because that's what I float fish with.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's interesting. My dad did that. And John Dearson. Remember John Dearson? John Dearson made a living off of float fishing like that. Yeah, you know, that's
and they finally came out with those.
And by the way,
knot tire thing. You know, you slide a piece of plastic down, you slip the little loop knot off of it or whatever.
Well,
nowadays you can put it on the reel.
You know, that's how Kirk Waltz fishes, with balsa cork.
Really, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's a little bit bigger than a brim cork.
Okay, and then, yeah, they're like 6-8 inches long.
If that, and then he, you know, he'll have the stopper, you know, in the reel. And he, you know, and obviously the cork goes all the way to the hook.
Right.
And then he chunks it. And that's basically the
same
thing.
That's the greatest thing, because in 16, 18 feet of water,
you can
fish stuff
that
we're trying to do with a jig head situation.
Yep.
But again, just like us trying to throw poppy corks in shallow, you can only have one or two of those going at a time.
Right. I've always wondered, as a matter of fact, we'll talk to Chip about this, because when I fished with Chip, when we had our little competition.
Yeah,
he was throwing a Cajun Thunder, I believe, with like 6 feet of leader.
Guy Spears is big into that, too.
Yeah.
Real long. But it's only him throwing it because
trying to get somebody out,
they don't know how to throw that much line.
We're going to ask Chip about that when we come back. I'm almost positive it was Cajun Thunder. And he used a jig head.
Like an 1/8 ounce or something like that?
No, quarter ounce jig head.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Just different ways of fishing, you know? Because me, look here. If I could throw a poppy cork every day and fish every day.
Oh, I know you.
Cork,
where I'm, oh, I'd rather
my
throw
God.
A jig head every day.
I love them.
I love throwing jig heads.
I know.
Oh, don't get me wrong. I love to hear them get sucked down, too.
Yeah.
I'm into it.
I mean, when my guys are fishing, I'm watching the cork.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Green.
Cork's down, you know.
I love it.
Yeah. And they're either getting, you know, a cigarette or a beer.
Turning their head. Hey,
yeah,
Paul, how's our
yeah.
green? He's looking around, trying to figure it all out.
Yeah.
But the biggest thing is, what people don't understand. Let's take a break.
All right, let's take a
break. We'll talk about that when we get back.
Yep. 641-1010, 641-1010. You listen to the Moe Southwest Grill Fish Forecast on 1010XL. Captain Scott Shake. I'm Captain Kevin Favor. Be right back.
The Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast, brought to you by Ring Power, Fisherman's Dock Seafood Market, and Tire Outlet on 1010XL.
Welcome back to the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast, and no, it is not Captain Leon Dana. It is Captain Chip Wingo joining us. And Chip, I got a question for you.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so we were having a... off segment conversation about the kicker for the Jaguars missing a 25-yard field goal, right?
And not having the strength to get it 49 yards.
And not having the strength, okay. And my buddy, my good little buddy, Captain Scott Shank, chimes in and he goes, "Dude, I used to kick 25-yard field goals in JV all the time." And I'm like, "No the hell you did not. No, you didn't. Stop, dude. You got 2-foot legs. I mean, what the hell?"
I kind of look like Fred Flintstone trying to get the car pedaled up.
I mean, no, you did not kick 25-yard field goals in JV.
Because I called Kevin. I told Kevin that they called me to sign me up.
You know, usually I don't call people out, you know, but stop. I mean, you did not.
I was just trying to get a laugh going tonight. Jesus. Take me all serious. Jesus.
Oh, can you imagine him lining up?
I know a place we can go where you can try.
Yes, you know.
Dude, I can't be no worse than he is.
Michael, he would give it the Babe Ruth point, you know?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
I mean, damn, I'm not making $11 million. I'm making $11. I think I can at least try.
I mean, jeez. I kind of got to give him a little bit of credit. He hustled that. He was able to get that check. He knew he probably knew he didn't have it.
Good point.
Good point.
Yeah, he did a good interview. That's right.
Yeah, shoot. If I could get $11 million for failing at my job, I'd be down for that.
Sign me up.
Right?
No doubt.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
I definitely don't think he got $11 million. That'd be crazy if he did. He got paid for that performance.
Yeah.
You got a check.
No, yeah.
Got a check.
Wow.
Yeah, so I here's the other thing, because I was fishing with a couple guys today, and they were great dudes, man. And Chip, one of them was the second mate on the Arietti, which is in Comanche Cove.
Uh-huh.
And he's second mate on another boat, and he's in Savannah now, right?
Yep.
He's got a very good friend of his, charter captain, and quit chartering. All right. So he's like, man, I'm tired of the pressure.
Mm-hmm.
So he bought a little bit bigger boat that could a little more capacity. And he said that he in Savannah, he drives people out on the beach, drops them off with like sifters for shark's teeth and fossils.
Yeah.
And says,
eco-tour stuff.
And says, "I'll meet you a mile down the beach. It'll take you about an hour."
Like Cumberland Island area.
Huh?
Cumberland Island like
yeah.
area?
And so they – no, Savannah's north of that.
Oh, Savannah's north of that.
So they sift shark's teeth and fossils all the way down the beach, and he sits down and waits on them, loads them up, goes and grabs another crew.
Damn, every day I'm trying to figure out where to get shrimp from,
And he said he's making a killing. I'm like
– wow.
I can't believe most of us ain't had a heart attack this year between bank situations and weather and everything else.
Yeah. He probably sits that mile down there sipping him a margarita mm-hmm. or something, you know. And
go and counting hundreds. Yeah, counting hundreds, sitting there looking for shark teeth.
Yeah, got his feet all propped up looking at his binoculars.
That sounds great after the double I had on Tuesday. So
oh, boy.
That wouldn't be too bad. So I'm realizing
oh,
that I
gosh.
Am.
Tell me the story. What happened?
Oh, it was hysterical.
No, it was. We caught a lot of fish. I mean, you know, I had two young, a girl and a boy and their granddad out in the morning. Uh-huh. We caught a lot of fish. We lost a really big snook, which really broke my heart. Had a jig head slap the little boy in the chest. The little girl hooked it up. It was funny because I put the fish bites and put a live shrimp on. She casts it out. It hits the water. She closes the bail by hand, and it looked like it got hit by a car because I thought the rod was going out of her hand. And for the first 3 minutes, all it did was pull straight drag around everywhere because she couldn't lift the rod up. And then it went under the boat, around the boat, under the trolling motor, through the trolling motor, back around the boat. And the little boy, you know, grabbed the net because I was helping her with the rod. And, you know, he kind of hit the fish, didn't come off because of that. But then all of a sudden, you know, the big head shake out of the water and the jig head comes flying back. it hit him in the chest, and he was like, ooh, that could have been ugly. You know, I started laughing. Yeah. But the second trip was caught some nice black drum, but it was every small fish you could imagine. You know, the water didn't look real good, but we had a blast, you know. I mean, but it's by the time I finished that trip, I was just like seeing double, you know, just tired. The heat, it was hot. And I was like, man, I'm getting old. But, you know, the movers were coming Wednesday, so I was like, I got to, you know, I got to get in what I can while I can. And the weather's turning chilly in Georgia, so.
So how many trips are you into right now? I know when I talked to you about 3 o'clock, you're on your 10th run.
I got another load about to go back again. Okay. So I'm sure I should only have one more trip, and that'll be at 6 o'clock in the morning and drop some stuff off at storage, pick up my brother, and head to Georgia. So
there you go.
Yeah, but I heard you talking about the popping corks, Kevin.
Yes.
So I started doing that because I noticed a lot of times that when you got a sweeping current over a piece of bottom, especially that bottom, the spot you showed me, you know, it's down there.
Yep.
So
yep.
When you take, I like to take a lighter jig head or a circle hook, and if I use a circle hook, I'll put a split shot on it, which allows the shrimp to just kind of tickle along the bottom as it's going. Mm-hmm. And I get so many good bites. I mean, you saw I was getting those drum that day, and it gives them time to eat it, you know, and it's harder for a client to throw it, but I, you know, it does work. I use it a lot when I have kids, and if I have guys who can cast it, I let them do it because the hookup ratios go up by tenfold.
Because how long was that leader?
I was using one that was almost 4 feet long.
Yeah.
So, you know, and it gets it right into the strike zone. And even if it's dragging on the bottom, like if you throw up, you throw way up current on the edge, it's already on the bottom. But as it drags, it pulls it down the ledge.
Right.
And, you know, it stays in the strike zone a lot better than a jig head, kind of not looking real natural, you know, just kind of rolling and flipping and flopping with a shrimp on it. I guess it looks natural, you know, it's and it seems to work well.
It's
but it
so
also works really good on rock piles. What's that?
Yes. Yeah. I said it's so hard to teach people, you know, throwing in that current. You know, their initial thoughts when they see the float go down, it's all of ours. I've been there, you know, and done it, is to immediately jerk.
Mm-hmm.
The whole thing you want to do is just point the rod at that general direction and just reel like hell.
Mm-hmm.
And then as you reel, lift, you know, go ahead and start lifting the rod. Mm-hmm. There's usually in the current we fish or the breeze that we're throwing in, there's such a bow and a line, you're talking 20 or 30 feet
you're right.
of scope.
Right.
There's no way in hell you're ever going to set a hook 20 or 30 feet with a 7-foot rod.
Right.
It's not going to happen.
I guess.
Well, see,
guess
one of the, Scotty, one of the things that helps me, I didn't mean to interrupt, guys. One of the things that helps me is that bow in the line, when that fish hits and that cork first goes under, by the time they catch up to it, the fish has got it.
Instead of jerking it,
so that bow in that line helps. But, lately we've had to pull all the stops out to try to get them to eat, you know. I've been using, you know, the flounder rigs with about 12 inches a leader with a kale hook with live shrimp and the fish bites, throwing deeper, trying to get that egg sinker to roll down the ledges to get them to eat. And, you know, there's a lot of fish here, but the water temperature just jumped up again.
Yeah,
so,
it did.
What'd you have today? 81.7.
82.
82 today. 81.7 yesterday.
Yep.
So,
my question was, with I probably use on the Cajun Thunder 2 feet.
Yes.
Okay. About that split shot, a 2-aught kale hook.
Yep.
All right. So, I mean, it's so hard to teach people how to feather.
Yes.
And what I'm talking about, folks, is that whenever you throw a Cajun Thunder, the cork weighs more than everything that your terminal tackle. So your terminal tackle, your hook and your weight and your shrimp are behind the cork when you throw. If you feather the line just before it hits the water, it shoots the shrimp and everything out in front of the cork.
And you want to sidearm cast it, not overhead cast it.
That's right.
Because you want it to go out like almost like an airplane.
Right. Yeah. You just kind of want it. You want to toss it sidearm. with 4 feet of line, I might lose my mind. You know, I mean, because first off, using that braid that we use, that 6 pound diameter, 15 pound test, when it tangles up around the cork
it's just start cutting things.
And not only that, Chip, I've actually had it go in between the eye of my kale hook.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
You know,
I still run a little short piece of lead. I still run a short little 20-foot, a 2-foot piece of 20-pound fluorocarbon, and then go to the float with that. I don't tie directly to the float with braid.
Okay. Okay.
You understand what I'm saying? Yeah, even a little 8-inch piece. All it is just so that braid doesn't, because it is, it's so daggum tricky.
Yeah.
Right there where they like wrap the wire, you know, where the cork finishes right there.
Yes.
And it gets up underneath. I mean, and dude, I've had it where it gets in between.
Yeah.
My jig heads, I bore them. There is no gap in that hook. How the hell did that braid just get in my eyelet of?
That's what I'm saying. And you can't even pull it out. You have to cut
everything.
So how
did it get in there?
I don't know. And that's what I'm saying. You go to 4 feet, now I've got double all that stuff trying to go out there. And you know, it's just – but I enjoyed fishing with you that day, Chip, and seeing you do it because, again, it's two guys that fish a lot that know how to throw.
With different patterns.
Different patterns.
Different ways of fishing. He's a shallow boat or a deep boat.
Yeah, no, that's not what I'm saying. Okay. We know how to cast.
I was trying
to be nice, I've never even thought about using a Cajun Thunder with that much leader, much less putting a quarter ounce jig head on it. You know, I've always thought about the Cajun Thunder as, you know, you're trying to keep that shrimp. I mean, it's live as hell, hooking barely in the horn.
Right above an oyster bed, not worrying about running a ledge.
Not running a ledge. So,
literally a drop off with it.
Yeah. But we've talked about this a million times too, Chip. We all get stuck, man. We get stuck in a pattern of what we do, and instead of trying different things, and
like I said, Zach, what a slip float.
I love it. I think that's just a great
idea. Yeah, there's slip floats. Is he using the one that's looks like wood? And
yeah, the balsa one. The old float on or float.
Yeah, I've
float
got
one or whatever the heck
awesome.
It is. Yeah, he just cuts the lead off. Well, that's what you always had to do. You always cut. You always take the lead off the float. I didn't never like that. I just wanted the float. I'd cut the little piece of lead that they always glued to the float, and then I'd use whatever 3/4 or 1 ounce. And put beads on each end so it didn't beat the float all up.
Yeah.
And but it's so easy to control them to walk it in between each one of those pilings.
Yeah.
I can literally throw cross current. If I'm facing the dock, I can literally throw left of that dock and walk it down the center in the current of each one of those bridge spans and get a bite.
Yep.
If you know how to do it.
Well, the best trout fishermen I've ever seen all use slip floats. You know,
the
older guys. Those guys hammer big trout, you know.
That's exactly right.
One of them looked at me one day and he said, "Son, if you put down that plastic thing and throw a shrimp with a float, you'll catch them." And I started laughing. I was like, "Yes, sir. It obviously looks that way."
Yeah, but, and all the bridges, like even like the Buckman.
Yeah, 30 feet of water.
Yeah, 30 feet of water.
You can float fish that joker.
You can float. That's what they do. They float fish it. And they
that's
for stripers.
Caught stripers.
There you go.
Stripers there.
Yep.
So, put one on each side of the boat, let her go.
The only striper I ever caught was on one of those float
rigs.
I've
never caught a striper, and Chip's been promising one, but he ain't done it yet.
Well, it's got to be nasty weather, Scotty.
I always hear people say that. The day I caught mine, it was nice. It was beautiful.
Really?
Sunshine, live shrimp. Okay. Yeah, shorts, T-shirt. No, I didn't have to get it. Don't let him.
All that grundy.
Okay. Northeast winds, 4 to 5.
Yeah.
You know, you might as well be kicking 25-yard field goals, Scott.
I think I still have a better chance.
All right, Chip, we got to run, buddy.
Up. Why is it all about
all right, guys, have a great night.
All right.
Later.
We'll talk to you. 641-1010. 641-1010.
You're listening to Captain Scott get his butt wore out tonight.
Well, you're the one who said
I didn't say it.
You did. You said you kicked 25-yard field goals with JV.
I have evidence that says you said it.
Well, yes. I was trying to make fun of the kid Jaguar kicker, not me.
No, but that's fine. But you can't say that you kicked 25-yard, you know.
We made fun of the kicker just as much, if not more, if it makes you feel
better.
That's right. We did.
Yeah.
We did.
Yeah.
Stop total picking on me.
We'll be right back with the Moe's Southwest Girl Pitcher Forecast.
The Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast, brought to you by Ring Power, Fisherman's Dock Seafood Market, and Tire Outlet on 1010XL.
Welcome back to the Moe's Southwest Grill. I thought that I was supposed to get the Benny Hill song, because that's what it just feels like is going on in here today.
Yes.
Sorry, we're at the private studios here.
Yep.
At the Favorite Residence.
Mm-hmm. The Moe's Southwest Grill.
Moe's Southwest Grill at the Favorite Residence.
Brought to you by Tire Outlet.
Brought to you by Tire Outlet. Oh my gosh, yep. We were just watching a news clip. That was hysterical. Anyhow,
oh, we do?
We do?
Awesome.
Oh, he took a break? Okay. Leon.
Yes, sir.
Hey, buddy.
Hello there, buddy.
Hey. Hi, guys.
Leon, so we're having a little conversation because, listen, I'm not talking about your kicking abilities, okay? No.
Listen, I know they suck.
Yeah. I've seen him try to get a kingfish rod out of the T-top.
I lost
right?
one this year doing that.
Yeah,
by the way.
Yeah, exactly. It ain't pretty, especially like 3 to 4 foot seas. There, I'm just telling you, it ain't pretty.
And for those of you that do not, and everyone knows Scotty, but those that just may not,
don't draw a middle picture, please.
We need to remind you, Scotty has a 20-inch inseam. Okay, so.
What is your inseam?
Hell, I have no idea. I try not to.
24 at
top. What the hell is an inseam?
Your pant legs. How long?
It's
got to
be 22, 24 inches.
29s or 28s? Yeah.
20.
You are.
I think they're
29. Dude, you're lying.
When I buy jeans, I got to get them hemmed.
There ain't no way.
When I buy jeans, I got to get them hemmed.
Okay.
26.
Because
yeah, okay.
The smallest that they make is like 32. Lengthwise.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. So, I'm just telling you.
Yeah. It's the 40 by 20.
Yeah, I'm good for a 60
Keep
yard
it up. Keep up this tonight, okay? And I'm sorry, it's not. It's 44.
That sounds good.
You're saying
credit.
You're just a 44 waist? Are you saying, Scotty, you're a 44 waist?
No.
Okay, I thought so. All right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Where are we at, Kevin?
Okay, so
I don't know. Get off this subject.
We're inshore fishing here. Okay, because listen, let's face it. There's just not a lot to do offshore. I know Captain Jeff Stam had a good day yesterday.
Congratulations, there, Cap.
Yeah,
I didn't even get that memo.
Yep. He had a good day, and the ocean was supposedly beautiful.
I heard it was absolutely.
Yep, I heard it was beautiful. But for the most part, Leon, all the charter fleet is inshore fishing, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah, absolutely.
So, when I look on, you know, Captain Rod Bennett's boat, Scott, mine, yours, Chip's, we all have float rigs now. Uh-huh. I mean, that's just another, you know, weapon that we have that we use. When you're in a situation where you could do either or, Leon, you're like, okay, I could throw float rigs here, or I could throw, you know, jig heads on the bottom and catch fish both ways. Which one do you prefer?
Hands down, I'm going to go with a float rig. I don't care if the person is 8 years old or 80 years old. Right. They absolutely love watching a float.
I could not. I love watching the float.
And that's what stinks. Most of my charters are four people. I can't do it.
I know.
I can't do it. I mean, unless they're really good. And they know how to cross over one another and play the moving around game.
You know what I do in that situation?
Go ahead.
I give two guys rods. Because I have specific spots that are small spots.
It's a little tiny little oyster
it's
bed.
It's a little tiny oyster
10 feet
bed.
Wide.
I can't be chunking four floats up there anyway because I'm going to spook everything out of there.
Right.
You know? And I will tell them, look, okay, here's the oyster bed. Don't throw there. Throw here, let this drift back. You know what?
By the way, guys, it's your turn right now.
Right. So exactly. And I do that. I do that a lot.
Okay.
You know, people don't mind. Okay. You know, because I love to float fish.
Oh, I do too. I know.
And you're right. If you got four people, you can't have one guy throwing a float rig. You just can't.
You see, always four jig head rods rigged and two float rig rods, and I mean, just depends.
Yeah, but I enjoy it, Leon. I love throwing that float.
I do too, Kevin. And just like you said, you can throw anywhere you want to, but do not throw it. It comes to the point where I'll tell my clients, listen, I know exactly where that float needs to be. If you will just let me throw it over there, I will hand that rod right back to you because I know exactly where the presentation needs to be.
Right.
I mean, if you're 5 feet out of that hole, it's not
that's
happening.
Right. Yep. And you know what? There's, again, just like those spots, you have those spots. God has those spots. And when they throw it, I'm like, you're not going to get a bite.
Nope.
And they're like,
you're
what?
Done. Bring it in.
Yeah.
Bring it in.
Yeah. And I'm like, look, I'm not trying to be a jerk, but I'm just telling you. And they're like, no, it can't be that specific. And I'm like, look, don't argue with me here. Okay.
Yeah.
And,
don't waste my time.
Way. Yeah. Because if you again, if you throw right at the bar, I'm telling you about, you're going to spook everything out of here, and we're going to have to go to another spot.
Yep.
Throw up here, but if it's 5 feet on this side of the bar too far away, you're not going to catch
done.
Fish.
Nope.
And I got two spots that there's a channel marker, and I stay so much away from it, and I'll tell him, I said, look, you got to make sure that thing goes inside of that line, imaginary line, of that channel marker.
Right.
And let it come right behind that oyster bin, you're going to get bit.
Yeah.
And he'll throw 10 feet in front of it. I'm going, dude, I'm telling you, can I have that rod for a minute?
Yeah.
Throw it right up there, and that thing will whoop, go right on down every single time.
It goes down like a fat boy in dodgeball.
Yeah. And it's, you know what? Honestly, it's not any different with a jig head.
No.
You know, just like today, I mean, those fish were what I would consider way off the bank.
No.
You know, and there was one guy, and I told him, I said, dude, throw it 12 o'clock. He said, you know what I mean? He said, right in front of, I said, throw it 12 o'clock. And he was.
Seriously,
he
throw it there.
He started catching fish. And I'm like, all right, guys, we are in the depth of where the fish are. Let me back up a little bit. But they kept trying to throw to the bank.
Yep. That's what I tell everybody. Yeah, I don't care nothing about that shoreline.
Right. Yeah.
I'm not asking you. Yeah. The boat's at 18, 19 feet of water.
Right.
I just want you to make, I mean, don't rear back like you're trying to make a surf cast at 300
right,
yards.
Right. Yeah.
Just stand up and throw it.
Yeah. Yeah. Leon, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You always have to gauge
people
how they can throw and where you put the anchor.
Back.
Right. Right. Exactly.
Absolutely.
You know, and it's like, look, sometimes even though you're, you know, 40 feet off of the bank or way more than that, look, guys, it's a flip cast. Open the bail.
Yep.
Let it go. You know,
because that particular spot is exactly right. It comes so fast up on the bank.
It
you're
does.
In 20 feet of water.
Yep.
And I mean, I'm serious. If I were to spin the bow around with a trolling motor, and keeping the big engine out to where I'm at, and just turned it legitimately 90 degrees, I'd be sitting in 6 feet of water.
Absolutely, would.
Right. You did.
Yep.
So that's why I tell everybody: don't rear back. And like you said, guys, you got to keep inching the boat either out or in if they're not making that cast. And because you know where they're at.
Yeah.
Nothing to it. You know it. You just got to try to explain
it's all,
that's the whole thing.
It's all about location, 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 and presentation.
Yep. And you know, God bless the guys that anchor up in a creek mouth and soak baits.
Uh-huh.
They're never working any different.
Baits pull, right, you know.
Yeah, I mean,
had a gentleman yell at me at the jetties the other day, oh, I'm fishing. I said, dude, you're not going inside where I'm at. You're bull red fishing.
Yeah,
I'm throwing
right.
along these rocks.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, my line, no, sir, you might throw up towards me, but within 15 seconds, that bait is right there. There's
straight
one
down.
Bait on the right-hand side of your engine. There's one bait on the left-hand side of the engine. Don't matter. You're not. You might as well just pitch it right behind a boat.
Right. Exactly.
You're not doing
right.
anything by pitching
right.
it to the shoreline and washing it down
right.
in that current. There's no reason.
And like I said, and I get it, man. They're out there relaxing. They're throwing their rods out on the bottom, and if they catch one or two, then they've had a great day. They've had a great day, and good for them. But I just thought
I got to get bites.
Yeah,
I gotta
get bites. Yeah,
Leon
and I talked about it. Thank you, Leon. for saving my rear end today.
Hey, my pleasure.
You know, Leon, I called him this morning, and he was at PVO, and I was like, I'm not sure they have bait. And he goes, well, I'm not leaving until noon. I said, I'm leaving the house right now. I said, I'll meet you at the rocks.
Yeah, that's what, Kevin called me first, I think, and he goes, hey. I said, hey, buddy, I ain't talked to you in a couple of days. How's bait? I said, the trucks don't deliver today, so I don't know, and I'm not fishing today. Ooh. I said, you better call Leon, because Leon just called me and told me they got big, fat, muddy-liciouses
up there. Hey, by the way, real quick, we got to take a break, Leon. Did you catch anything on Bud Bennett's today?
You know what? With the kids that I had in the boat, I went straight to the shrimp because I didn't care what bit today, if you understand what I'm saying. I went, tomorrow, I'll be straight Bud Central. If you need me to bring anything down to you, just let me know. I'll bring it down to you.
I think we have bait. By the way, you had a good day today, right?
I had a pretty decent day. I was pretty happy with the redfish that we caught today.
Good-sized
fish in the 24- and 25-inch range.
Yeah, I had some of those, too. I had some nice keepers today.
That's great.
Some nice keepers.
What time you start tomorrow?
Me?
Yeah.
Late. 2 o'clock.
Oh, you're starting at 2. Yeah, I said I'm starting at 12.
Well, that's because he's got a Palm Valley tide, too.
Yeah, but he's coming down here.
Yeah, but I'm coming down to your neck of the woods. They want to go flounder fishing.
Oh, I got you.
Well,
bring me
down like 2 or 3 dozen muds. If you don't use them, you can use them the next day. I'll get them.
Yeah, I'll be glad. Yeah, no problem.
All right, Leon.
All right.
All right, buddy.
Thank you.
See ya. You be good.
See ya.
Captain Leon Dale, checking in. 641. The bait master. Yeah. Ooh, glad you. Never mind. 641-1010.
What'd I do this time?
Give us a call on the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast. I'll tell you in a break.
This is the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast, brought to you by Ring Power, Fisherman's Dock Seafood Market, and Tire Outlet on 1010XL.
Totally forgot to do the forecast.
Yeah, we better hurry up. Welcome back to the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast. Always listen to it with Captain Kevin and myself on Thursday nights from 8 to 9 here on 1010XL. And now we're going to do the weather because we only got a few minutes.
You talked about this. Tonight, southeast winds, 10 knots. Tomorrow, northwest, 5 to 10, becoming north in the afternoon, seas 2 to 3.
Yeah.
Here's the weekend. Northeast, 15 to 20 on Saturday, 4 to 6. Sunday, northeast, 10 to 15, 4 to 6. Monday,
Tuesday,
northeast,
Wednesday.
10 to 15. Tuesday, 10 to 15 out of the east. So the ocean is basically going to be shut down. And Saturday looks a little iffy to fish inshore, but the rest of that, I'm okay with that.
No, I'm fine.
I'm okay with 10 to 15 out of the northeast.
10 to 15 is fine out of the northeast. There's enough to do. I mean, like I said, it's just the only thing that's going to really get us is the tide situation for next week.
It's going to be up there, isn't it?
It's up. I mean,
Isn't there like a 6.5?
Yeah, they're calling coastal flood warnings.
Yeah.
Starting Saturday throughout the next 5 days.
Yeah.
Because
there was a flood tide today.
Yeah. When I was coming to your house right now, there's no grass showing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, because I thought that I was leaving late this morning at 11 o'clock. And when I got
see how long it took for the tide to fall out?
Dude? Oh, yeah.
It's been that way for the last 3 days.
Oh, yeah.
Brutal.
Yep.
So, yeah, I mean, it's...
But at least it's getting low.
Got a new moon coming.
At least it's getting low.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
It'll be low for the next 4 or 5 days.
Well, better than what we had a week ago where we didn't even see any oyster bars.
Yeah, I get it. Where we did nothing but dock and seawall fish.
Right.
Dude, did you see the jacks downtown at Lions Bridge?
I saw jacks.
Dude, they were eating it up the last 2 days.
Actually, I saw them just to the south of the bridge today.
Yes.
Yep, just to the
south. I mean,
south
little pods, but they're still there chasing finger mullets.
Yep. Tomorrow might be a good day because I'm leaving at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, you are leaving. Yeah, you might have a good day with that incoming tide already.
Yep. No. Folks, make sure you join us for the Nimnik Outdoor Show on Saturday morning. Myself, Jeff Loggeman, Captain Kirk Waltz, 7 to 10 on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Boy, talking all that. Bird hunting, didn't he just get back?
Yeah, he just got back from South Dakota, and then you've got opening of gun season in Georgia. So we're gonna have a lot to talk about, a lot of hunting and fishing. So make sure you join us. And for Captain Scott Shank, for our good buddy Michael there, who always does a great job,
he
we
does.
Appreciate you, buddy.
Y'all
have a great
Thank
weekend
you.
Of fishing.
See ya. Yeah.